Good morning and welcome to Cultivating Hearts. We're back in the studio and I'm glad to be back here. I missed you guys so much.
You
know, horrible. Anyway, I think it's a great morning. I love the sunshine and I just love, it makes me think of that Mandisa song. Yeah. I want to just dance through the studio.
Yeah.
So I think we have some really exciting stuff to talk about today. Yeah.
We're going to be looking at the woman at the well, and this is just such a sweet passage, and if we don't take the time to really examine it, we could really pass up some really deep truths that God has for us. Mm-hmm. And you know, that we were just discussing here in the studio, every time you read a passage, it's like layers of what God reveals. And God was walking me through yesterday as I was restudying it and just saw some revelations about Jesus and what he was making known about himself. And that's what I want us to, we'll kind of like unfold over the next 4 weeks, is what Jesus was making known about himself mm-hmm. to this woman. And before we go into it, the actual Bible story, I wanted to put a thought there, and that I have been really pondering about cultural differences and how we have different cultures, and how even within the city of Omaha and wherever this is going out on the radio, it's different cultures that are listening. And I was praying with a young friend, and she is Hispanic. Mm-hmm. And as she was praying, she said this phrase. She said, "God, different cultures are right here in this room, but you're the same God."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then like a day later, I was reading in the passage about how Nicodemus approached Jesus, and then thinking about the woman at the well. Mm-hmm. And culturally, Nicodemus and the woman at the well could not have been more different.
Mm-hmm.
A man, a woman. He came to Jesus at night. Mm-hmm. She's a midday at six, you know, six at night. Jesus went to her. Mm-hmm. I mean, the cultural differences, you know, he is well-learned and accepted and sought after, and she is despised and unwanted and, you know, somebody you don't want to be near. It was socially acceptable to be near Nicodemus, but he did it hidden, whereas it was socially unacceptable to be near a woman, a Samaritan woman, right, at a well, you know, and yet Jesus was with her. And it occurred to me, despite all the cultural differences, Jesus was the same.
Mm-hmm.
The message was the same.
Mm-hmm.
So as we dialogue over the next 4 weeks on this lesson, I want you thinking in that mindset, how he bridges the cultural barriers with the word.
I love that.
And that we need not be concerned that culturally we may be different than someone else, or culturally the way they handle circumstances may be different. That though culture may be different, the word is the same, and God is the same, and truth is the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so truth applies regardless of the culture. And so I want us to be thinking along those lines, okay?
And that's deep, because we can get caught up in the cultural differences and not even get to the truth of Jesus.
Right. Oh, and you know, and we can use our cultural differences as an excuse as to not obey the word of God.
Mm-hmm. And we even do that with our same culture.
We do.
You know.
Right.
People are not acceptable or whatever, which is wrong. You know, Jesus accepts everybody.
That's exactly right. And that was the whole point behind the Nicodemus and the woman at the well passage. So I want us to be thinking and letting this rest on us as we begin going into the Bible story. Now, let's set the context for today. You know, leading up to this time, they've been traveling, they've been out baptizing, and all of a sudden John's disciples begin to complain because they see that more and more people are going to Jesus. And it's at this point that John looks at his disciples and he says, "Listen, less of me, more of him." Mm-hmm. That is what needs to happen. Less of me, more of him. That right there is the greatest thing we need to be thinking about when we're dealing with cultural barriers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so as this is occurring, the Pharisees are also recognizing, not only are the disciples seeing how everybody's moving to Jesus, the Pharisees are recognizing, and they're now getting upset.
Right.
They're like, seriously, this guy is taking away our authority, our people. And so Jesus has now left to go to Galilee, and so this is where the Bible story is going to start, and this is in John. We're not going to do a middle portion where the disciples come in and interact with Jesus and the woman. I want to keep the focus just strictly on the woman at the well. If we were doing a lesson about the disciples' interaction with Jesus, I'd spend more time on that, but the focus for today on the Bible story is going to be just the woman, okay? So as Jesus was traveling in John 4, it's 4 through 26 and 39 through 42. Let me say that. So as he was traveling through Samaria, he came to a town of Sychar. And this is actually the place where Jacob's well was. And it's still there in their journey. And Jesus is tired. And so he sits down to rest. And it's about 6 at night. And the disciples have gone on into town to get food. And a Samaritan woman, walks up to the well. And Jesus says to her, will you give me something to drink? The woman looks at him and she says, you're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan woman. Why is it that you ask me for a drink? Because the Bible tells us that Samaritans and Jews didn't mix. They didn't associate. Jesus says, oh, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would ask him and he'd give you living water. She says, you have nothing to draw with. Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us this well. He watered himself and his crops and his family, his animals. And Jesus responded to her. He said, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give will never thirst again, because I give the water that is the wellspring of life. She said, sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and I won't have to come back to this well again to draw water. He said, go call your husband and come back. She, I have no husband, she replied. He said, you are right when you say you have no husband. In fact, you've had 5, and the one that you're with now is not your husband. She said, sir, what you have said is so true. I see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is Jerusalem. And Jesus responded, woman, believe me, a time's coming when you will not worship the Father on the mountain nor in Jerusalem. See, you Samaritans worship what you do not know, but salvation comes from the Jews, and we do know where worship comes from. See, a time's coming where true worshipers are going to worship the Father, both in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers that the Father is seeking, those that worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know the Messiah, the one called the Christ. He's coming, and he will come and explain everything to us. And Jesus simply responded, I am he, the one you speak of. Now, may God honor the telling of his word, but I want to follow this up. So the woman then, as the disciples show up, she leaves and she goes to town. And she goes and she tells them, you need to come and see the one who has told me everything I ever did. And she gives testimony. And so the Samaritans come out and they urge Jesus to stay. And because of his words, many of them believe. And so the people end up telling her, we no longer believe because of what you said, but we believe because we have seen and heard it ourselves. We know that he is the Savior of the world. Okay, may God honor the telling of his word. So here we have this Samaritan woman and Jesus in this incredible encounter. And it's really funny. I was just thinking that word encounter. Every day when my kids get home, one of the things that I will ask my children is like, did you have any great encounters today? Can you tell me about any encounters I need to know about? It's kind of my word or phrase to I want the scoop on what's going on.
It's kind of hard to give the fine answer to that one.
Yeah, an encounter, not, you know, how was your day or whatever. Yeah. I want to know any great encounters. And they know that means that I'm really wanting to hear a story that's funny or a story that made them happy or something that wasn't so great. And so I get a wealth of things from them. And here we have this incredible encounter of the woman and Jesus. So as we just, off the top of your heads and hearts, as you hear this Bible story, what's the first thing that comes to your heart and mind when you just hear this passage? What do you think about?
I kept going back to Jesus told her he was the Messiah.
Yeah.
Now, was that the first time he told anybody?
I don't know the answer, Sandy.
Okay, I'm
too
just
tired.
Thinking, wow, you know, and a woman.
Okay, no, it's not.
Okay, I couldn't
but
remember.
It's not him. And the okay, when the call of the disciples and the call, they referred to him as the Messiah, the mm-hmm. one called
they
Christ.
They referred to him, but did he just come out and say, I am he?
No, this is the first time. This is the only time that he actually says the phrase, I am he. But I couldn't answer about the Messiah word. But yes, the I am he, it is extremely significant because he is declaring at this point.
That he is the Messiah.
Right. And it's making that connection for anybody that's in Hebrew faith will immediately connect it to I am of God and Moses.
Yeah.
And this is important to understand because the Samaritans were actually looking for a Moses-like figure as far as the Messiah is concerned. And for Jesus to declare it, that's breaking down a cultural thought that they have that's not true.
Right.
Okay. Yes. So, yes.
I love that one. Yeah.
Interesting, though, that that's how he declares himself to her in that same way.
Right.
Yeah. Which she needed in her heart as well.
Yeah.
He just knows. I love this because he goes against every barrier that was supposed to be set up, and he just breaks it. He wrecks through it. I mean, even going alone to the well, I think that's a big thing. Mm-hmm. Then speaking to a woman, but then a Samaritan woman.
Right.
I mean, they were really seen as lower class, right?
Yeah, totally.
And that just tells us he speaks to everybody.
Yes.
You know, it isn't like, okay, that's a good person or whatever.
Right,
you know,
right.
He speaks to all of us.
Yeah.
Went out of his way, too, I think.
Right.
Right?
Yes, he did.
Oh.
And the journey that he could have gone two ways, and that wasn't the only way to go through Samaria. He chose to go through Samaria. And most of the commentators say the reason why he did is because he's fulfilling Luke 19:10, where it says that Jesus came to seek and save the lost.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Shelley?
Yeah, I just think of, like, you know, what we consider the lesser in today's society is what messages might we be missing from those people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or that we, and the fact that we just even consider them those people.
Yeah.
It's just our prejudices, our misconceptions.
Yeah. Sure.
It's not giving somebody a chance. And how many times do we not give somebody a chance just in life in general before, I mean, even
to
embrace them?
It just flattens that playing field, you know.
It does.
It's just level. It's level at the cross. Mm-hmm. So it can squash all of those preconceptions.
It's a little humbling.
Very humbling.
It is humbling. But it's a good reminder, too, you know, because Jesus is ready and he's available. And he was ready and available for Nicodemus, who came at night, who had the right to approach him in the daylight.
But he didn't.
And here's this woman that you would think it would have been done in the dark because it was not socially acceptable. He did it at the brightness of 6 o'clock at night is what time scripture says. You know, it's like, okay. You know, it breaks down everything. And I love that. And so as we're examining this, I'm going to want us to talk through. And let's look at what Jesus was doing. Tell us what we can learn about Jesus in this passage. I mean, just thinking that we've looked at his heart because we've expressed his heart, but let's just think practically. What's happening to him? Why is he at the well?
To reach her.
Well, it is to reach her. We know that spiritually, but physically, what is scripture
tell? He's tired and thirsty.
Yeah, he's tired.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's just think on that for a second. Yeah. Humanly. He, as a human, he knows the exhaustion we have. Mm. So I can so relate to that right now, that just the physical tiredness. And so physically we can relate to him because he is real. He's tired. He sends the disciples on. They go get the food. He sits to rest.
Mm-hmm.
But he knows there's a divine encounter that needs to take place. And I love that he's available.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so as we're looking at that, then I want us to think about the woman. Is it typical for a woman at 6 o'clock at night, based on what you know, to draw water? When do people typically go get their water for their work day?
Didn't they go in the morning?
Yeah. Why would they do it in the morning?
To take it back to prepare the whatever they needed to use it for.
The day.
It's the beginning of the day.
The beginning of the day, you would go to the well. Right. The fact that she is there at 6 o'clock at night tells us even more so how ostracized she is within the community.
Yeah. Doesn't that just hurt your heart?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when you think about being ostracized like that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And so we have her coming late at night, Jesus staying and resting because he knows this encounter is going to happen. And the conversation begins. Who is the one that begins the conversation?
Jesus. Mm-hmm.
And what does he ask of her?
Please give me a drink. Mm-hmm. The very question, as I was thinking about this, the very question he asks is the very thing that he's getting at to learn and see and reveal where she's at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that she needs him.
Right from the beginning, just that simple physical need, but it's going way deeper.
Is this question a question for because he wants the water, or do you think it's because she needs to know she's thirsty?
I think she needs the water.
She needs to know she's thirsty. So even though he's asking her for her to meet his need, he's wanting her to see her need.
Absolutely.
Yesterday, it was kind of fun. I have recently started a new position as the Grace of Women. The Dean of Grace for the Women of Grace.
I don't know. Can I talk?
Grace of Women, too.
I can't even talk.
Absolutely. That's a calling.
It's a calling. That's crazy. But what I'm doing, because I don't know, I have a couple of hundred women I'm having to know in a very short period of time to know their hearts. And so I am praying and asking God, give me questions. Show me how to ask questions. Show me how to know them. And so every time I meet somebody, I'm asking questions. And I had this opportunity to ask some questions. And one of the young women at lunch said, "Man, you ask good questions." But it was kind of like, you know, sometimes you're going to make us think. This isn't the typical, you know, I'm a freshman and what do you do? Where are you going? That kind of question. And Jesus is employing the question because a question reflects who we are inside. And so as we're getting close to closing today, I want us to close out, but we'll start this back up next week. And thinking about how he uses the question to reveal that which is inside us so that we can better draw into his presence to know who we are and what we need to know about ourselves through him. So we're so glad that you are here listening to Cultivating Hearts. We thank God for the donors that give to the Open Door Mission to make this radio ministry possible. We thank you for giving to the ministry. All of us would like you to know that if you'd like to contact us, please contact us at cultivatinghearts.org, terrorai.com, or opendoormission.org. And we just thank you for your help and ministry. God bless.